Well, actually, I want to make a disclaimer right at the very beginning. I don't claim to know all there is about humble confidence, but I will share some things, and so will you, because that's one of the first things we're going to do is we're going to get you all to participate in this, because I think you all have got some information to be useful to share. I'll share a little story with you about a guy who had enough confidence when he died. He went to heaven, and he visited St. Peter. And St. Peter says, "Well, you just tell me how come you think you ought to be in here." And he said, "Well, that's easy." He said, "I've been doing a pretty good job in my life." And he said, "Well, I've got the record book, and it doesn't say anything about that at all. In fact, it just says mostly you drink a lot and you visit the bars a lot." He says, "Oh, I've done acts of courage." He says, "Well, name one." And he said, "Well, I'll tell you one." He said, "I was in a bar when Hell's Angels came in. And," he said, "they started roughing the folks up and all that kind of stuff. And I got mad. I just got plumb mad. And I went over to the guy who heads that thing up and I says, 'You get your ugly girlfriend and your crazy bikers out of here.'" He says, "Now that is an act of courage," said St. Peter. He says, "When did you do that?" He says, "Oh, about 5-6 minutes ago." That's a little bit how I feel right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just really appreciate the fact that it's your word that really tells us a lot about this whole subject. That it's not something that we can just drum up out of our own heads, but it's the Holy Spirit that's sharing this with us. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be present, that would be felt, and that would be responded to. In Jesus' name. Okay, I'd like to have the person from group number one. Yeah, we just put it down there for the time being. Group number one, would you come up here? And, right. And while I'll help you put that up, we'll put it up over here. First of all, tell them what it is that you're supposed to do, what your assignment was. She's going to tell you all what her assignment, what their assignment was.
We were supposed to draw a picture of someone that we thought was humble. And so what we did was look up different verses about humility or being humble and just rooted in this kind of person. And I don't know the verses here, so.
You don't need to read them if you just tell us quickly what the characteristics are.
5:6 is it was God, he would be under God's authority, basically. Okay? Proverbs 3:34 was basically that a humble person, God would be great. So he's humble. I don't remember exactly. He would crown the humble with salvation. That's what it was. Psalms 149:4. Philippians 2:3-4. Anybody other centered? Focus on others. Matthew 11:29, they would have a humble and gentle heart. Before honor comes humility, so honor was kind of in the future out there. As he's being humble, honor was in the future. He'd be clothed, but humble clothes there, 1 Peter 5:5.
That's great. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Yeah, we'll just put the next one up over it. Number two. Group two.
Oh, look at the light.
Tell them what your assignment was.
Okay, we were supposed to draw somebody we thought was confident. And so what we got here is we got, Mom, Isaiah, Chris, you got it? Yeah.
It says the fruit of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever.
So we got quietness and peace. That one. And then, Alicia, you have Hebrews 13:6.
So we say with confidence, but what is my helper? I will not be afraid of what you command me to be.
So we've got that he's not afraid and he's confident in the Lord. And that he's not afraid of men. All we have here is we have a storm that's got behind him right here. So like a cloud and a storm, a lightning bolt. And this guy's kind of like your real, he's got the wide jaw and the big eyebrows, big broad shoulder guy, real tough looking there. He's got a briefcase full of, big bucks or something, I don't know, or shoes or something. He's selling shoes door to door. But, he's got the cuffs and he's got the wingtip shoes, and everything. He's got the banker's tie and he just, just kind of like the epitome of a real confident person. But I think it's all in his eyes, his dark hair, his brow.
Okay, good. Thank you. Number four. Mm-hmm, number four. I should have warned you. I should have warned you. That wasn't fair. I do. Go ahead and put it up.
It is a great humility and confidence that we put up this poster. Now, our pick here is supposed to describe someone who is like that doesn't have either two characteristics of this guy or this guy. And we come up with stud. Whoa.
Yeah, man. He wants to go up on his own. Now, stud here, all he does is he thinks about himself. He's got a nice crew haircut, which is really totally in. He's totally fashion-oriented. The jams, the Nike shoes. All he's thinking about himself, look himself in the mirror, you know, feel inside out. He's got the, trophies to look at. He's got himself a book that he wrote himself, Humility and How I Take It.
That was put out by NAF Press, by the way.
That's right. He's like a bodybuilder, just all he thinks about himself. He's got a tight shirt, I love me. And we just wanted to show that this guy's like, you know, since he's totally paying attention to himself, he's not looking at what's going on in the outside world. We've got a rock here. It said, pride goes before a fall. Proverbs 16:8. We're trying to show that if you think too much of yourself, before you know it, you're going to fall, and bingo. You know, all you're going to be is tasting dirt for a while. So, pretty much, this is our guy, Stud, and we really like him a lot, and we want you to vote for him.
Okay, come on up, number three. Catch it, please. Okay, good. Hey, they don't build them stable. Let's just put it back up on the rack here. Thank you. Okay. Their assignment was?
Our assignment was to draw somebody that was humble and competent.
Right.
And we kind of drew somebody we were kind of familiar with. We didn't have a gray magic marker, so just use your mind. What we have here is a guy that's got he's pray without ceasing. He's got dear Lord ... We put 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So it talks about prayer without ceasing. He's got one big ear here. He's receiving counsel in it. Notice it's not going out the other ear. Here we have the word in his heart. Of course, it's on the other side of his. We do it on this side because we had to have a pocket on the right side. And Matthew 11:29. Yeah. And then in his chest pocket, he has a admission ticket for a dinner with somebody. It's a back row. Proverbs 25:6, talking about taking the low seat. He never presumes that he's the high man. He's got a sponge in his arms, Matthew 20:26, talking about washing feet, being a servant. And he's just pretty receptive to all that God wants to do with him. He doesn't have any expectations except what God gives him to do. Yeah.
Good. All right. Yeah. Well, you all were extremely cooperative, and I really appreciate that a lot. You made this thing come off. Can you think of some other humble, confident kinds of characteristics? I'm going to give you some also, but can you think of some others that we can put up here?
Gratitude,
you bet. Sing them out.
Submissive.
Open-minded. Boy, is that a hard one, too. Love. Mm-hmm. Contentment, sure. And this goes two ways. One is being willing to give forgiveness. The second way is being willing to receive forgiveness as well. And accepting that, in fact, you are forgiven. That God loves you anyhow. That you are forgiven. And that other people can forgive you. And you can press on from there and not go around kicking yourself in the head all the time because you did something wrong 10 years ago. Okay? Once you're forgiven, God's forgotten it. Remember, he doesn't remember it. He doesn't know the word again. When you come back to him and you say, God, I did it again, he's going to say, did what again? See, if you've been forgiven, God forgets it. So he doesn't remember again when it comes to forgive, asking for forgiveness for repetitious sins. Another characteristic.
Perseverance.
Has goals, you betcha.
Patience.
Can you imagine this? I'd like to just say one a couple of things about goals. I'm not going to talk about goals. We could do that, but I'm not going to. But a lot of people don't develop goals in their life, and we need to have those. Can you imagine? Do anybody here know who Sir Edmund Hillary is? Mm-hmm. Was? Okay, what did he do? That's true. Now, can you imagine somebody walking up to Sir Edmund Hillary and said, tell me, Sir Edmund Hillary, what did you do to be able to get to the top of Mount Everest? And he says, I don't know. I was just out walking around one day, and I saw it, and I climbed it. Now, wouldn't that be ridiculous? You couldn't do it that way, could you? Just couldn't do it. You got to have goals in your life if you're going to get anywhere. Okay, good. I really appreciate the participation a lot. Now, why in the world would you even care about developing humble confidence? What difference does it make? Well, Romans 12:3 says, we ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we are. Now, it does not say, by the way, that you need to put yourself down. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that you've got to make yourself be the kind of person who eats worms and goes around throwing dust up and ashes up in the air all the time. It's not saying don't think of yourself well. It just says don't think any higher of yourself than you ought to think of yourself. Then you need, if you wanted actually another translation, then you need to think of yourself. So you need to have a good balance between what you know the characteristics that God has given you, because he's given you a lot of very positive characteristics, a lot of positive talents, a lot of positive abilities, a spiritual gift, and there's no reason that you should not say, God has equipped me to be able to do for him what he wants me to do. Jesus, this is probably not a true story, but when Jesus, after he ascended, the angels came to him and says, what's your plan for reaching the world? And he said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask all the people who become Christians who want to follow me to reach the world for me. He said, well, that's great, but you know how those people are down there? They're kind of fickle. What's plan B? He said, you know, there is no plan B. So we need to be willing to accept what he's given to us and put that into action. Another reason why you might want to do that is so that we do not reduce our value or our esteem. Humble confidence. They're not diametrically opposed terms. You do not want to depreciate yourself, because when you depreciate yourself, you are saying, God, you must have made a mistake. You didn't know what you were doing when you made me and when you called me into your family. And you ought not to say that, because you're really saying, God, you blew it. And God doesn't do that. God does not make mistakes. Ethel Waters was asked one time when she was at a Billy Graham crusade. Ethel Waters is a famous singer, was. She's dead now. And somebody came up to her and said, now, why do you think so many people come out to hear Billy Graham preach? And she said, you know what? God doesn't sponsor any flops. He doesn't. And every one of you have been sponsored by God. You've been selected by God. He does not sponsor or select flops. So you need to be willing to have confidence, but that has to be willing to be dealt with in a humble way. We'll talk about that some more. Another thing, another reason to develop humble confidence comes from Isaiah 66:2. It says to gain God's esteem. You want God's esteem? Most of us would like to say, yeah, I'd like to have that. You betcha. I'd love to reach, when I die, reach those pearly gates and God have to say to me, like he said to David, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I'd like to have. I'd like to have the characteristic, and I've got to work on developing it myself, and all of us need to do this, of a man, true story, of a man who was a missionary back in the time when they didn't have airships, planes, they had sea ships, and he was on a ship, and he was going overseas, and he was on the deck, and he would walk past a mother and her child, and the child looked up to her mother and said, Mother, was that Jesus? Now, wouldn't you like to be mistaken? To have the characteristics that somebody says, now I know what a Christian is. Now what I know that what Christianity is about. It takes humble confidence. It takes somebody who's willing to say, yes, I can do And we'll tell you how you can do in a few minutes. But at the same time, understands that it's not me alone that does it. If you're going to have true humility, absolutely everything you accomplish in life goes to God, right? Absolutely everything. You don't do anything on your own. What does John 15:5 say? It's just part of it. It says, I can do nothing without Him. But what is the contrast is Philippians 4:13 that puts it in perspective, puts it in balance. What does Philippians 4:13 says? That's right. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yes, you can. That's right. Another reason why you'd want to have humble confidence is so that you can, in fact, be examples to other Christians. 1 Peter 5:3. And another reason why you'd want to have it is because in 1 Peter 5:5 and 6, it says, do it. It's commanded to have that. Do it. Now, the scripture verses that they use, I'm going to give them to you very quickly on this last one, because they're the ones on some of the scriptures that relate to it. Psalm 69:32, if you want to write these down, look them up later. Proverbs 12:15. Proverbs 25:6. Matthew 11:29. A real key one, by the way. Matthew 20:26, coupled with Philippians 2:7. Matthew 20:26, coupled with Philippians 2:7. Romans 8:29. 1 Corinthians 3:18. And in case you missed that one, it means to become a fool. One of the reasons why we do skits. Do you all do skits still? One of the reasons you do skits, by the way, is to learn to be able to get in front of somebody and look like an idiot. Because we need, as Christians, to learn how to become fools. Because to the world we are anyhow. And we need to be we need to know how it feels to be reacted to that way. People laughing and all that kind of stuff and making fun. Of course, when you're doing skits, it's a fun thing to do. Of course, it's embarrassing sometimes too. But it's fun for the people who are watching you. But sometimes you've got to do that in front of a group of people too that don't believe in Jesus Christ. And you need to stand up and say something about that. And you need to be willing to accept the idea that you may be looked at as a fool. Philippians 5:21. Excuse me, that's Ephesians 5:21. I misread it. And Philippians 2:3. And finally, Romans 13:1. Now, what are some practical things that you can do? I'm going to tell you a couple books to read that you can. If you haven't read it already, read My Heart, Christ's Home. A little pamphlet, a little preach done by Robert Munger. You can get that at your BSU. I know that's I've gotten them there before as well. Yes, My Heart, Christ's Home. By Robert Munger. And it's one of his most famous sermons. And you ought to read it a couple of times a year, every year. Well, I'll tell you, it hits me every time. Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges. A little Nav Press pamphlet by Ray Hu, spelled H-O-O, called to Serve. Called to Serve. There are a couple of tapes that you might be able to get still through Nav Press. One is called Obedience by Skip Gray. Probably my most favorite one, the one that always grabs me, the one that I use in my discipleship ministry over and over again, is by Walt Henrichson, H-E-N-R-I-C-H-S-O-N, called Many Are Called, Few Attain. Many Are Called, Few Attain, by Walt Henrichson. Something that you could study in the Design for Discipleship, Book 2, Chapter 1, pages 5 through 13. Something you could study in Design for Discipleship, Chapter 2. If you've already been through it, go through it again. Book 2, Chapter 1, pages 5 through 13. Some topical studies you might want to think about from the Scriptures. The Lordship of Christ. Obedience would be another one. Look up in your concordance. Another one is servanthood. Lordship of Christ, obedience, servanthood. And another one to do that's going to be a little bit more difficult because you're going to have to, it takes a lot of time, is called Who Am I in Christ? Who am I as a believer? How does God look at me? What are some of the characteristics that God looks at me? And you're going to have to go through a fairly detailed concordance and look for the characteristics of the believer. Okay? Now, you need to be willing to believe Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good. That's another practical thing to do. Because there'll be lots of things in your life that you are not going to enjoy happening to you. And in fact, if God gave you the choice to choose them, you would not choose them. That's right, David. Nonetheless, God has either ordained it in your life directly, or He has allowed it in your life like He did with Job. All things, in fact, do work together for good. Another thing to believe that you need to be able to do comes from Ephesians 5:20 and 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Very, very important. It says, give thanks in all things. Give thanks in all things. It made the difference when my wife got sick and has been sick now for about 10 years. Is just now starting to come out of it. It made a difference in my attitude. It made a difference in my children's attitude and our relationships as a family because I thanked God for her illness. And she was eventually able to do the same thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, the next step, which is even more difficult. It's one thing to say thanks. It's another thing to follow this prescription that says, be joyful in all things. But God, I just had an accident. I'm in the hospital and I hurt. He didn't say, except in these simple cases, He said, be joyful in all things. Psalms 51:15 says that, in fact, another thing you need to believe is that God will be with us in trouble. God never abandons us. Never abandons us. Psalms 51:15. How about this one from an Old Testament called Habakkuk? Just abbreviated H-A-B. Oh, Habby. 3:19. God is our strength. Psalms 31:19. In short, it says, fearing God will result in getting His goodness. Isaiah 40:31. Hope in the Lord, and you will have your strength renewed. Even when you're under a great deal of stress. Isaiah 40:31. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. His mercies are new every morning. Boy, am I glad of that. Because I need them every morning. I don't do a lot of things right in my life. 2 Corinthians 4:8-10. No matter what, we are always sustained. That's a neat set of verses. I'd really encourage that you memorize those. James 4:10. Be willing to humble yourselves before the Lord. Psalms 147:6a. If you humble yourself, Psalms 147 says, God sustains the humble. And 2 Chronicles 16:9. Very critical. This is 2 Chronicles 16:9. God wants our hearts fully committed to Him. Now, what are some other practical things that you can do? Some other things that are practical in addition to what I've already shared with you. Receive feedback. Be willing to receive feedback. I knew a guy once who every morning he got up, one of the first things he prayed for, that God would bring somebody into his life that day who would tell him what he needed to hear, whether he wanted to hear it or not. So be willing to receive feedback. Also means, and sometimes, to be willing to share new information with significant people. That you'd be willing to do that so that you can develop a more open, more wide picture of yourself. If you're willing to receive feedback about yourself, if you're willing to give information to significant individuals, and you select those people very carefully now, if you're willing to do that, what happens is, as you begin to find yourself looking at yourself like other people look at you, and you really get a chance to see yourself as others see you. Significant people, significant information and significant people. That is, you just don't go running up to anybody and everybody telling them the whole life. I got a brother who's like that. I mean, first time he meets you, you get to know my brother far more than you'll ever want to. That's the way his is. That's his personality. He's like a bull in a china shop. The person, however, he won't receive feedback. He won't take information about himself that he needs to hear. I need to be willing to share that kind of information that is relevant to the relationship that I've got with somebody, whether it's my wife or a close friend or the guy who I'm under for authority. I work under Skip Gray, or it's the person who led me to Christ, Bill Threlkeld. I need to be willing to share significant, important information that's relevant to that relationship so that he can also put some pieces together and help me to see myself better. Have a single focus in life. Have a single focus in life because you remember you got to have vision. A single focus will give you vision. Without vision, the people perish. And you will perish too if you don't have vision. If you don't know what your focus is, if you don't know what your reason is for being here. Another one that's hard to do sometimes, overcome hurts and pressures and failures, at least what we think of as failures. Overcome them. Don't let your life be sustained by the fact that somebody has hurt your feelings. Because if you do that, you let a root of bitterness grow up in you. And that'll destroy not only you, but many other people as well. Be willing to sacrifice. Be willing to serve. Does that mean being a doormat? No, it does not mean being a doormat. Not at all. It means being proactive in trying to help people meet needs. You see, God will provide to you what you need to have in life and many things that you will want in life that are just the desires of your heart. If you will help other people help to meet their needs, if you will be the instrument God uses to meet their needs. Understand how you develop a destiny in your life. Here's how you do that. If you sow a thought, and you've probably heard this before, but if you sow a thought, you will reap an action. Now, you get the picture of a person sowing seeds, so you're sowing a lot of it. So if you sow a thought over and over and over in your mind, you're going to end up reaping an action. If you sow an action, you reap a habit. If you do the same thing over and over again, like tying your shoes, for instance, you'll eventually get to habitual, and you'll be able to do that without even thinking about it. If you sow a habit, you will reap a character, the kind of person you are. And if you sow a character, you reap a destiny. You reap what you sow. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. You've been getting because you don't like it. Because you're not being the Christian that you think God wants you to be, then change your thought patterns, change your actions, change your habits, and you'll change your life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay away from anything that will take you away from God even a little. Stay away from anything that will take you away from God even a little. What kinds of things am I talking about? Alcohol. And I know that there are lots of people who discuss the concept of alcohol in Christian circles that say, no, it's okay to have a little alcohol. That's between you and God, but I'll tell you my personal opinion is it's not okay. That's my personal opinion, and I've done a lot of studies in the Scripture. I'm by no means an authority on the thing, although I've done a lot of work with the area of alcoholism and that sort of thing before. But I've had some healthy discussions with a pastor who doesn't agree with me. I want you to understand that. There's another side of the story. But I'm telling you, that'll help to take you away from God for a little bit. Why? Because if you have one shot of alcohol, you destroy 1,000 brain cells. Now, it's true. We've got a bunch of them up there. But I don't know about you, but I don't feel comfortable about killing some extra ones. I don't like that. And all you have to do is have one shot, you kill 1,000. If you take one beer at its normal strength, you cut down your vision by 18 degrees. One beer, that's all it takes. Enough of that. Stay away from rock music. I could spend hours on that, have done that before. Stay away from rock music. Because rock, especially secular rock music, breeds rebellion. It incites people to become self-centered. It breeds perversity in sexual relationships. It incites people to drug use. Now, does Christian rock do that? No, it doesn't do that with the right message. But let me tell you something about Christian rock. It mimics secular rock. And there's a thing in psychology, that's my background, they call the transference of learning. That if I listen to a piece of music that sounds like something else, I can identify it as that something else. If I've been brought up on a diet, and I was brought up on a diet of rock music, and I listen to Christian rock music, what is my mind going to be able to think about? Earlier Christian or non-Christian rock songs, the words of which I remember, and it can, in fact, do the very same thing, even though the message is different. Let me tell you one more thing about that, and then I'll press on. They took premature babies. They can't understand the message, okay? They let them listen to rock music, and they stunted their growth. Now, being a premature baby is already difficult enough. It actually increased the amount of stress to be able to survive the living experience. They took those same children and played other good music, Brahms, Vivaldi, Bach, and other things besides that, and accelerated their growth. So music has an impact. Stay away from candy. Sweets, in other words, sugar. You don't believe that? Read Sugar Blues. Believe me, it'll distort your ability to think clearly. It'll help you to become depressed. And I know that a lot of us in this society are hooked on it. Okay? Stay away from occult games. Don't play around with them. Stay away. Don't even read the horoscope. I don't know if you know this, but the horoscope is based on the belief that the earth revolves around the sun. Can't be too accurate or scientific, can it? Because that ain't true. Eat properly. To develop humble confidence, you've got to be able to think clearly. If you're not eating properly, you will not think clearly because it's your food that gives your brain the ability to think clearly. Be committed to your relationship to Christ. Practice the fundamentals. We're over. If you don't mind, I'll just go for a couple more minutes. Practice the fundamentals in Christianity. Have a quiet time every day. Work on developing that everydayness of your quiet time, your time with God. Every day, I would suggest in addition to that, that when you go to bed at night, if you have your quiet time in the morning, when you go to bed at night, read the Scriptures. Get into the habit of reading them before you go to bed. Try to get through the Scriptures in a year or 2 years or 3 years or whatever. That doesn't make any difference how long it takes. Read the Scriptures twice, at least twice a day. Do memorization. Do have a developed prayer life. And do fellowship with other Christians. You don't think you can make it on your own because you won't do that. Satan would love to get you off by yourself. Give all the credit for everything you've been able to achieve to God. That doesn't mean that you, when somebody says, "Hey, thank you, Eric, I really appreciate your doing that," you say, "Well, God did it." That doesn't mean you have to sound like you're super pious. It does mean that you say, "I do appreciate that," and you may be able to at one point and say, "I couldn't have done it without the help of the Lord." And it may be appropriate. Let the Holy Spirit help you say that. Or you may just say, "Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I don't get much feedback sometimes." And in your heart, you say, "Thanks, God, because I know you're the one who did it." Understand that being humbly confident is a choice that you make. It's not something that happens. It's not something that grows on you. You are given the fruits of the Spirit in bud form. You need to be able to be in the position that in the power of the Holy Spirit, you develop those into blossoming flowers, blossoming fruit. Accept responsibility for your actions. Here's another one that can be hard for you from time to time. Choose to believe the Scriptures even when it doesn't make sense. One of the most stupid things that people will tell you that are found in the Scriptures is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego survived a fire. Couldn't have possibly happened. Got to be a fable. However, archaeologists have found a beehive furnace in which was inscribed in the stone on that furnace that said, "This is the furnace in which three men and their God were not consumed by the fires of King Nebuchadnezzar." Choose your attitude properly. It means making some choices. Here's some other choices. Choose a good attitude. Choose to control your emotions. I don't care if you're German, Italian, I don't care if you're redheaded, I don't care what it is, you can control your emotions. Unless you've got a medical problem. And there are people who have medical problems. If you've got hypoglycemia, if you've got diabetes, if you have brain chemistry difficulty, you may not be able to control your emotions. You need to see a doctor. Choose the type of behavior God wants us to be known for. You can choose that. Just two or three more things. Choose what you will do with your body. Keep it pure. I do a lot of counseling, and one of the things that I counsel the most in Christian circles is people who have gotten pregnant when they weren't supposed to do that, when they didn't mean for that to happen. Choose to use your body the way God would have you to do that. Choose how to relate to others And finally, as an emphasis of this, choose to seek constructive feedback. If it's not given constructively, accept it anyway. Now, does that mean that every time somebody tells you something that you need to think about, that you need to change with? No. One thing about feedback is you need to find out what it is that other people think. If you find three or four or five people say the same thing, yeah, you do kind of act sort of snotty, then maybe what you want to do is wipe your nose. No, I mean to change your behavior. Okay. Listen, I really appreciate being able to come here today. I never take for granted the opportunity to come and speak to OSU students and those who come along with them. I just wondered if you'd catch that. See, I got my master's from OSU. From OU students and those who come along with them. I count it as a personal privilege that I get asked to do this. Now, I want to tell you something, be honest with you. One of the things, they said, would you do one or the other talk? One was to deal with attitudes, and one was to deal with this concept of humble confidence. I first of all chose dealing with and developing proper attitudes. And it was just like God shot me in the heart. He said, no. I'd already hung up from the Glen. I'd already turned it in. I called him right back and said, no, I got to do humble confidence. I don't know why, but I got to do humble confidence. And so I thought to myself, well, at least I'll get a free 45 minutes because nobody is going to come to that. But you all came. God chose you to come to this today for a reason. Listen, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this group of people who have it on their own heart to become like you. Lord, help us to be able to match your image as much as humanly possible in the power of the Holy Spirit. And help us to give that credit to you for having done that. We just pray these now in the precious and powerful and wonderful name of Jesus.